All right, welcome to the pre-conference orientation call presented by the Board Conference Support Committee. This is one of two calls organized for new General Service Representatives and Intergroup Service Representatives who will be attending the World Service Conference. And these calls are also open to any member with interest in World Service. Our speakers are now or were at one time GSRs or ISRs or trustees and have attended a World Service Conference and served on committees or caucuses throughout the remainder of the year. To start, our first section is going to be preparations you can do before the conference. Our first speaker is Ed. Ed, if you can press star six. And Ed is going to speak for 6 minutes on the theme of how the traditions and concepts come to life doing service. Ed, how would you like your 6 minutes timed?
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Could I have a 3 and 1 minute?
Okay, great. Thank you, Ed. Go ahead.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ed, and I am a compulsive debtor. And thank you all for joining the call today. First, I have to tell you that my decision to become a GSR has been one of the greatest joys I've experienced in DA recovery. I'm currently serving as the vice chair of the BDA committee and the vice chair of the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus at the World Service Conference level. So as Tom said, my portion of the call today is geared around the traditions and the concepts come to life in service. If anyone is on the call and is wondering what the secret is to a healthy, solvent, and prosperous life, for me, it is service. Service is the secret. And that includes service to your home group, service to your intergroup, and service to the committees and caucuses that you'll be joining in August of this year. Here's a simple fact for me. The more time I make for service to the DA program, the more time I have for everything else in my life. The less time I make for DA recovery, the less time I have for everything else. It's an amazing paradox I've found out. So I will not have time to speak on each tradition and concept today. However, I have picked a few. I believe there's as much spirituality in the traditions and the concepts as there are in the 12 steps. Steps of our program teach me how to live with myself. The traditions and the concepts, they really teach me how to deal with the world around me, including my family, my home group, the World Service Conference, my work environment, and even when I'm driving in traffic. Love and tolerance, taking the high road, is what I believe the standard is for me. And this is an ideal, don't get me wrong. I'm perfectly imperfect when I'm talking about how I work this. So tradition one, placing our common welfare first. Personal recovery depends on DA unity. How I understand this is that we must hang together or we hang separately. It's that simple. I believe every time that we show up at a meeting, in person, online, or over the phone, we are practicing tradition one, and that is keeping recovery available to those who may not know there's a way out of debting. For me, this is a great way to defeat the isolation that my disease of compulsive debting wants me to live in. At tradition two, with the understanding of no bosses in our fellowship, our leaders are but trusted servants. For me, that really boils down to that I have found a safe place in the program of Debtors Anonymous, a safe place where I can express my own individuality. I serve because I understand the great suffering I had to endure before I found Debtors Anonymous, and I want this program to be available for all who want it. Tradition three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop incurring unsecured debt. This tradition keeps it simple for me. I'm a member if I choose. One of the greatest reliefs for me was when I was able to openly say, my name is Ed and I'm a compulsive debtor. I was finally able to breathe. That was really what I believe is my first pressure relief, if you will. Tradition five, to carry the message of recovery to the debtor who is still suffering. Just knowing how close we were to extinction before finding this life-saving program, and to see us now coming together on a mission to practice Tradition 5, Again, to keep all the doors, phones, and portals open. When I can focus on this tradition and give it the attention it deserves, my problems seem to go away. My higher power loves it when I show up. That's what we do in DA recovery. We show up. I believe it's 90% of what we do here. We show up. Just love that. The seventh tradition, self-supporting through our own contributions. I never thought this was possible before arriving to DA. Self-supporting? Yeah, right. I thought for sure my ship was coming in or someone was going to bail me out or take care of me. Coming from a place of impoverishment, desperation, and deprivation, I never, ever thought I could live a life of contentment. Well, I'm here to tell you, I am solvent and living within my means today. I'm able to give generously to DA and those who are near and dear to me. I really have a life beyond my wildest dreams. I eat, play, and sleep well. My higher power is doing for me what I could not do for myself. Love seventh tradition. And the concepts, just to skip ahead a little bit, they also have an abundance of spirituality in them. For me, they are applicable not only in the DA service structure, but in everyday life. One concept I feel is beneficial to read and have a good understanding of before, during, and after the World Service Conference is Concept 9. How am I doing on time? Okay, maybe that time cable is closed out. So Concept 9 talks about humility through good leadership, to be mindful, to be humble, to understand that my actions have consequences, to recognize that my beliefs are not always my way or the highway, to have the ability to laugh at myself and don't take myself too seriously, to have the elements of faith and hope that we can be and do better, and finally to realize that our strength is in our unity. So this, my friends, is a condensed version of how the traditions and concepts come to me in my life through service. And finally, to be connected to all the energy of all the recovering debtors at a World Service Conference is such an amazing experience. I really am so excited for everyone on this call and looking forward to meeting you at the conference. Again, for me, service is the secret to lasting recovery. Thank you.
That time.
Perfect. Great. Thank you. Thanks so much, Ed. Our next speaker is Josie, and she will speak for 6 minutes on working with your home group to identify and submit any issues and concerns. The deadline for those is July 1. And reviewing past issues and concerns and conference reports at debtorsanonymous.org/WSC, the World Service page on the DA website. Josie, how would you like your time?
I think 4 minutes. If you let me know at 4 minutes, and then I'll have 2 minutes left. Thanks. And
okay,
then
great.
Time.
Go ahead, Josie. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Josie. I'm a debtor. And I'm really pleased to be here. I always think it's a little odd being on my own completely in a room with a headset, reaching people in all parts of the world. I mean, it's miraculous. It's wonderful. So I'm kind of imagining you all, and it's really moving. So my job is to talk about the issues and concerns. So DA's way of hearing the fellowship is when you write issues and concerns to an email address. So on the website, what we call the website, it's actually the world website, so that's debtorsanonymous.org, wherever you are. If you go to Fellowship Services and then the World Service Conference, you will see after the descriptions of the conference committees, which are also great to read before you come, you'll start seeing past World Service Conference reports. Now, since 2015, the issues and concerns seem to be in those reports. And, you know, thank God for search engines, because you can just click on, if you've submitted one in the past, or you can click on your name, you can search for your name, or if you have an idea of something that you want to find out if it's been asked before, then you can search through those conference reports and find out if something's been brought before. And let me tell you that most things have. It's so funny. So I was, in preparation for this call, I was looking at, I picked at random, the 2009 issues and concerns list. And when I clicked on it, there were at least three issues and concerns that I know have come up again this year. I should say I'm serving as a member of the board at the moment, but I began as a GSR. And I have to also say that when I first went to the conference, I had no idea that I was supposed to look for anything like this. But what it's done for me is help me kind of out of myself, my self-obsessive head, and learn about what my fellowship's been talking about. And there's a great, if you really like history, the first annual meeting of 1982, there's a report from that, which moved me a lot. So how do you work with your group? Just ask them. You know, if something comes up in group conscience, as it does, you know, why do we have to use a male pronoun for a higher power, you know, that kind of thing? Or shouldn't we have more e-literature, more literature on Kindle, and maybe in another language, that sort of thing? You do find that they came up in 2009, but you shouldn't let that put you off from asking them again if you want to. Just be aware that these things come up. Thank you. That these things do come up about every 7 years in my experience in recovery. And sometimes, you know, the group can move on from quite a big discussion, a big kind of hot discussion in the group conscience, by your knowledge of what's come up and what the answer is. So that maybe is clear as mud, but, oh, yes, the other thing you have to do is you have to look in the next year's focus or the conference report, which I think comes out around February in the following year, for the answers. As an ISR, I was expecting somebody to write me an email and say, the answer to your question is this. But there isn't time. Now I'm a board member, I know that that can't happen. It's published on the website or in the focus, which is the service report of the fellowship. So briefly, have a look at the website and past issues and concerns, and ask your group if they have anything they want you to bring. And remember the July 21st deadline for submission, which is just an email. There's an email you can click. Thank you. I'm done.
Great. Thank you so much, Josie. And just to clarify, it's going to be July 1st for the deadline for issues and concerns. So
thanks,
we can get them
Tom.
Into the binder in time. Yeah, thank you. Okay, and so our next topic is showing up to the World Service Conference. And our first speaker, I think I skipped over Susan. I'm so sorry, Susan. So she's in our first section. Still preparations you can do. So Susan is going to have 6 minutes, and she's going to speak on how it helps being familiar with the Debtors Anonymous Manual for Service, or DAMS, as we call it, and the inverted triangle of the service structure from local groups to the WSC committees and caucuses. Susan, if you can press star 6, and what time signals would you like?
Hi, this is Susan. Jill, could you give me a 2-minute warning?
Okay, so 4 and 2. All right, I think she's got it. Yeah, Jill? Well, I'm timing too in case that doesn't happen. Okay, go ahead, Susan. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Hi, I'm Susan A. I am a compulsive debtor, solvent today by the grace of God and the fellowship of this program. And my assignment is to talk with you about the DA Manual for Service, affectionately known as the DAMS. And just to briefly point you in the direction of the committee structure, because other speakers are going to talk about that in depth. So I am a fairly newbie person on the Board of Trustees, and I recalled when I started to write this that last year at this time, I was preparing for my third World Service Conference as the GSR from my home group. And I did recall the first time I went to a conference, which was 2 years before that, that I actually had no idea that there was such a thing as the DA Manual for Service. I guess I had always thought to myself that that would be a great thing to have happen, and I was delightfully surprised, though I would say a little bit shocked, that it existed. How would I describe the DA Manual for Service? It's a written compendium of guides for everything you always wanted to know about DA service, but were afraid for various reasons to ask. A couple of things, being a good teacher, I always like to start with the objective stuff. And by the way, when you get to the conference, if you haven't been to a conference before, you will probably be asked if you want a written copy of the DAMS or whether or not you want an electronic copy to be able to follow. Either way, I would say that probably this was the most practical thing that I could bring back from the conference. And, you know, even though I did prepare a report for my home group to be able to talk about this, a copy of the DA Manual for Service is long-lasting. People can put their hands on it and be able to look up, you know, everything they might have always wanted to know about being a treasurer or starting a new group, or what does the General Service Board do after all? I mean, all of those kinds of questions. The DA Manual for Service, copyrighted in 2010, and the first printing was in 2011. And on page 3 of the DA Manual for Service, it does say that unlike other pieces of literature for Debtors Anonymous, it does not undergo the same kind of glacial process for material to be published that's copyrighted by DA, and the reason for this is because the DA Manual for Service is sensitive to and responsive to our evolution as a fellowship, and just looking at the practical ways that service manifests itself in the fellowship. So it is updated every year, and in some years when I look at the printing list, I see that it's been had more than one printing. I don't know the history on that, whether or not there was an update in between or just that they ran out of copies. Some
two
other
left.
Two left?
2 minutes left. Yep, thanks.
Okay. So other fun facts. 2018 dams, there's 156 pages, there's 11 chapters and an addendum. Let me just also quickly point out to you that if you can read nothing else at the World Service Conference from the dams, I would especially focus on Chapter 5, which is about the World Service structure. And it also lists the nine committees in Chapter 5. And as other people are going to talk about that, I'm just going to say what those things are quickly. There's the BDA Committee, the Conference Committee, Fellowship Communications Committee, Hospital Institutions and Prisons Committee, also known as HIP, International Operations Committee, Literature Committee, Public Information Committee, Resource Development Committee, Technology Committee, and the Technology Committee is the last. So there are nine committees. Part of the expectation that you will have as a delegate is to participate at least in one committee, and one of the possibly if you choose one of the caucuses. If you want to become familiar with what goes on in those committees, you don't have to have a copy of the dams right now. You can go back to your registration packet online, and also below where you could access your registration packet, you can check to see what the committees are. And I would really suggest at least getting a handle on what those are, because
time.
Selection of what kind of committee you want to participate in will come up quickly. Is that time?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks so much, Susan. Jill, are you still with us? She was calling from overseas, so her call might have dropped. So I'll go ahead.
Hi.
In time.
Can you hear me?
Is that Jill? Yeah.
It is, yeah. I am having trouble being heard, though.
Oh, okay. Is the Star 6 going well as far as unmuting?
Yeah, I'm using Star 6. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's try it again, if that's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Great. Thanks so much. Okay. So now our next topic is going to be showing up to the World Service Conference, which starts for delegates on August 4th. No, on August 7th. The board starts on August 4th. Our first speaker in the section is Rob, who will have 6 minutes. And Rob will speak on who are the WSC delegates, the GSRs, ISRs, trustees, and an overview of the conference schedule. Rob, how would you like your time?
Could you give me a notice at 3 and at 5?
3 and 5 and 1. Okay.
Yeah.
At 3 minutes and 5 minutes and 6. Okay, great.
Exactly.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is – hi. Thank you, Tom. My name is Rob B., and I am an under-earner and a debtor. And I'm grateful to be the chair of this year's host committee for the World Service Conference in L.A. next August, this coming August, 5 weeks away. I'm going to give a general overview of who the people are that are attending the conference. It's sort of like preaching to the choir, because I'm sure most people know what a GSR is, but I'll review it anyway. I have been to 4 conferences altogether, 3 as a GSR and 1 last year to get ready for the conference this year. It's a fantastic experience, and if you've never been, welcome. You will have a life-changing experience. Thank you. So what is a GSR? The General Service Representative is the link between each individual registered DA meetings and the World Service Conference of DA. He or she is usually someone the group knows and feels comfortable and trusting with the important task of representing them at the World Service Conference. GSRs are suggested to have the following qualifications. One, to have abstained from incurring unsecured debt for at least 1 year. Two, to be actively working the 12 steps of DA. Three, to have had at least 2 pressure relief meetings. Four, to have given service to a local group. And five, to be an active member of a home group. What is an ISR? The intergroup service representative serves as a link between a local intergroup, such as SoCal DA, which is our intergroup here in Southern California, and the World Service Conference of DA. ISRs are suggested to have the same qualifications as the GSRs. So the GSRs and ISRs, like trustees and the other trusted servants, rotate out of their positions after either 1 or 2 3-year terms. So they're expected to serve no more than 3 years on any one committee. So when they go to the World Service Conference, the GSRs and ISRs are expected to work on a standing committee of the conference for the full length of the World Service Conference and by telephone or email throughout the year until the next conference. So each delegate participates on a conference committee of his or her choice, and they can also join a caucus. So they work on that committee and caucus throughout the year to carry out its conference-approved action steps, and Susan listed those committees in her talk. Some of the caucuses include diversity and spiritual sustainable earning. So the delegate shares the results of the World Service Conference with the local group and shares a copy of the World Service Conference report with the group. And they also share responsibility for informing their groups about the financial needs of the General Service Office.
3 minutes.
And taking some responsibility to promote a timely allocation of the seventh tradition when it is collected. Who are the General Service Board trustees? So the trustees are responsible for managing the day-to-day affairs of the DA program, including maintaining DA's financial records, managing DA's cash flow, overseeing the DA General Service Office and employees, and maintaining the DA website, and much, much more. The bylaws establish a minimum of 3 and a maximum of 15 trustees, including a maximum of 10 Class A compulsive debtor trustees and a maximum of 5 Class B non-debtor trustees. Class A trustees are those who have arrested their compulsive debting, have not incurred new unsecured debt for a period of at least 3 years, and who are living so far as possible within the principles of the Debtors Anonymous 12 steps. Class B trustees are those who are not now and have not been afflicted by the disease of compulsive debting and who express a profound faith in the DA program. So the trustees meet twice a year in person in late summer, and they meet for 2 days prior to the start of the World Service Conference. And in the late winter, early spring, they meet for a long weekend. During the rest of the year, they meet on 2-hour conference calls spaced approximately 6 weeks apart. In addition, each trustee serves on several board committees and participates in the work of those committees via email and conference calls. Each trustee also serves as a liaison to the World Service Conference Committee and or caucus. So I'm going to get a brief overview of what's going to happen at the World Service Conference, just very brief bullet points. Day one is Wednesday, August 7th. In the afternoon, people arrive and they register. There's a dinner. After dinner, the conference officially opens. There's an orientation, and they listen to the committee and caucus reports. Day two is Thursday. There's a breakfast. Then there's general session. They have reports in an open forum. After lunch, the open forum continues. There's caucus meetings and committee meetings. There's a dinner, and then there's an open meeting of the General Service Board. On day three, Friday, after breakfast, there's committee meetings. Lunch, there's more committee meetings and caucus meetings. So it's Friday is all about committees and caucuses, and they submit motions and recommendations to the General Service Board. There's an open night. People can go wherever they want for dinner, and if people want, apparently there's going to be a DA meeting on the beach. Yay. Day four, Saturday, as a breakfast, then there's a convocation. That's where everyone who is a registered delegate gets to vote on various proposals and measures. There's a fellowship day all day for DA members, and there's going to be a lunch with a keynote speaker and a gala dinner with a keynote speaker and a party afterwards. Yay! And then Sunday, as Tom said, there's a convocation until noon. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Rob. Thanks, Jill, for timing. That's great. Okay, our next speaker is going to be Tracy, and she's going to speak for 6 minutes on the topic of your choices of a committee, caucus, or both, and doing committee and caucus work at the conference. Tracy, how would you like your time?
Hi, 3 and a 1.
Okay.
1 minute wrap up? So 3,
yeah.
5, and 1, and 6?
No, okay. At 3 minutes and at 1 minute left.
Okay, so 3, 5, and 6 as far as the intervals. Okay, awesome. Thanks, Tracy. Go ahead.
Oh, right, in time. Okay, hi. My name is Tracy, and I'm a compulsive debtor and very grateful member of my home group and of the doing World Service. And World Service, as somebody else mentioned, has been amazing. It's a great group of people. I consider it my DA family. And I have actually developed, I now have a sponsee relationship with somebody who I met at conference who's in a different city, and a sponsee sponsor. It's a wonderful, the people who are doing World Service, really, know what the program is about and understand it and embody it, and it's really inspiring. So that, I'm just saying that. Now, my speaking topic is on choosing a conference committee and or a caucus. No, and possibly a caucus. So every GSR is required to be on a committee. The committees were listed before, and then the caucuses, I'm going to list those because they weren't named before. We have an intergroup caucus, international caucus, Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus, and Underserved and Underrepresented Outreach Caucus. So the work, the first is choosing a committee, and I should say that I'm a member of the conference committee, and I am chair of the International Caucus. And when I first showed up at conference, and on my registration form, they ask you on the registration form to name your committee that you're going to be on, and it has a little asterisk that says you can change that at the conference. So I had put literature, and I had chosen literature for kind of personal reasons. I thought that might be where I thought I could be helpful. I'm a writer, And I was really interested in the topics they were discussing. And I had learned about the committees a bit because of my area service. So I'm from New York City. My home group is in Brooklyn. And we have a monthly meeting with the area GSRs. And at that, we have committee reports from whoever is serving on a committee, whichever committee the GSRs, the various GSRs are serving on. And so I had heard throughout the year how it was going, and I was kind of excited about literature. But when I showed up, I went to the literature committee meeting. So you show up and you go to a meeting that you want to. And in that meeting, they came by and they said that they needed support in the conference committee, that they had few people there. So and there
minutes.
Were plenty of people. I'm
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay. Wow, this goes fast. Okay. They had plenty of people in that committee, so I ended up serving on the conference committee. I walked into that room. I was just like, I'll be of service. I had been in another fellowship. I had been a voting member of a conference for 5 years, so kind of knew how that worked. But the big difference with DA, which is lovely, is that we meet throughout the year. We have monthly, and we do the work of the conference throughout the year, and that's really been the kind of fulfilling part of this service. So when you're choosing a committee, it's like these are the people and the work that you're going to be doing on a monthly conference call, and plus If you're on a subcommittee, you'll have more conference calls, and you can choose kind of what you're interested in and where you can be of service. And then I also had lived overseas, so I wanted to join the international caucus, and I showed up and was chosen as chair, which just means that I'm guiding the meetings and leading, making sure they get through an agenda. And, you know, we do various things. So I would urge you before the conference to kind of really look through all of the descriptions of the committees. A lot of them do have subcommittees, and they do, you know, quite a lot of work throughout the year. So, you know, kind of what is your driving factor? But then, as, you know, from my own personal experience, it's just be open to being asked to show up to where you can be of service. And, you know, I was served on a subcommittee of the conference committee, which looked and did a review of our charter, you know, which is called the bylaws in the service manual. And, like, who knew that that would be interesting? But it was actually fascinating to read about the charter. And we've proposed,
1 minute.
We've put forward a motion to that end. And the caucus that I'm on, the International Caucus, has also asked the conference committee to put forward a motion to become a committee. And we did that for various reasons, but one of them is that is to really bring it forward and make it the focus of people's work. Because sometimes, although I thought serving on a caucus was lovely and great, you know, it does require a certain amount of time. And again, the time is completely worth it, as other people have said. Serving throughout the year and being actively involved in the being actively involved in carrying the message of DA and being focused on what that message is and how we carry it at the committee level, at a monthly level. I'll sum up by just saying that it's the amazing sort of meat of the service, I believe, of the international conference. So, you know, both be sort of aware when you choose a committee, but also open to what higher power puts in front of you. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Tracy. And next we're going to hear from Michaeline for 6 minutes, and she will share about her experience at convocation, GSR, ISR participation during convocation, voting on motions, and hearing about the reports. Michaeline, how would you like your time?
Just a 2-minute warning, and then at the end, of
Great,
course.
Thanks. Fantastic. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Michaeline, and I am a grateful friend of Debtors Anonymous. I'm currently serving as the chair of the Debtors Anonymous Board, and I'm also on the Conference Support Committee. So what is convocation? Convocation are the voting sessions of the World Service Conference held over 2 days, and it's where the annual business of Debtors Anonymous is addressed. Following the conference, activities and committee meetings register GSRs, ISRs, and current GSB trustees and the GSO manager are asked to vote on important issues affecting DA as a whole, including the approval of literature, committee work, spending plans, and other issues. As proposed by the World Service Conference committees and the GSB, it also includes the election and swearing in of the board members and the officers of Debtors Anonymous. This year, convocation is held Saturday and Sunday, August 10th and 11th, from 8:30 a.m. till noon each day. Convocation is the place you not only represent your group, you are also a delegate representing Debtors Anonymous as a whole. Attendance at both sessions is important for the best functioning of DA in the coming year. Each World Service Conference is given the opportunity to bring motions to the floor of the convocation. Motions are discussed and then voted on by every delegate in attendance. It is important to watch the presentation to see the exact wording of each motion. Each delegate should consider how that motion will affect DA as a whole. Remember that you do represent your group when you come to the conference, but when you are voting on motions, you need to think about what is best for Debtors Anonymous as a whole in the face of full information provided by the discussion during the convocation. Also, it is strongly suggested that each delegate stay in the convocation room whenever we are in session. It is important that you hear all the discussion for each motion. As you were told, when you register for the conference, you will receive a binder. The binder is your conference guide. Not only does it have your schedule, it also has your credentialing forms for the convocation. There are two of them, one for Saturday and one for Sunday. You will need to arrive early to get into the convocation so that you can complete your registration. You will go to the front of the convocation room and present your daily credentialing form to the volunteers at the desk. You will be given a card that will allow you to enter the convocation room. Each time you enter and exit, you will leave that form behind. You are personally assigned a number. For example, if we had 100 delegates, there'll be 1 to 100. You cannot leave the room without handing in your card, and you cannot get into the room without having one. Some people actually go before breakfast to hand in their credentialing form so that they can get their number assigned and beat the crowd before the assembly. Remember, being a voting member representing DA as a whole is a spiritual action. You will want to remain attentive and prayerful. Check for when breaks are scheduled so you can plan your exits from the room accordingly. Turn off your phones if at all possible. If you are taking notes on a computer, make sure you are in early enough to get set up before the meeting begins. So what should you expect? Look for the screen at the front of the room. That is where all the motions and recommendations will be displayed for the group. Find a place where you can see it comfortably. As each motion is presented, there will be limited time to discuss them. If you feel strongly enough, particularly about a motion and have specific information that the convocation should consider, be sure to line up at either the pro or con microphone so that you have an opportunity to present. It is suggested that if you have a comment, don't go up just to say you support or don't support. You should have some more detailed information available if you are going to go to the mic. I do want to hit voice of the minority. The voice of the minority is an opportunity for the losing side of the vote to provide information to try to sway the other side to change their vote. The minority is the side that loses the vote. It has nothing to do with the motion itself. So, for example, if the Happiness Committee has a motion to provide free food at every meeting, they provide a spending plan that tells everyone they can actually fund this through Seventh Tradition donations. The vote is 99-4 and one person against. That one person is given the opportunity to go to the microphone and give their reason for voting against. If anyone in the majority believes their argument is so persuasive that they would like to change their vote, they go to the mic and let the convocation know that they are willing to change the vote. Then there is a vote on whether or not we should open debate again. If 50 in the room decide they want to reconsider the vote, debate resumes, and then we go to a new vote. But if only 48 decide to change their vote, there is a 51-49 majority for the motion, and the motion passes. Remember, each member gets 2 minutes to speak at the microphone. Be prepared with what to say. Make the important points and forget all the filler. Time. As my sponsor would tell you, just the facts. I hope this will help you to be prepared for convocation. And I was done. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, Michaeline. Okay. And so for our final topic, it's going to be your responsibility after the conference, and we have two speakers. Our first speaker on this subject is going to be Paul, and he'll speak for 6 minutes on giving a WSC report to your groups and doing monthly committee and caucus calls and the type of work that gets done. Paul, what type of warning would you like? Time.
Yeah, I'll have a 2-minute warning.
Great. Four and
okay.
Six. All right,
two
thanks,
more.
Paul. Go ahead.
Thank you, Tom. My name is Paul, and I'm a compulsive debtor. I am the intergroup service rep for Sacramento Intergroup, and this will be my fourth World Service Conference. Others have been talking about it. I'm sitting here looking at my services, the secret pin that was handed out last year by one of our trustees. I was fortunate enough to get one of those. I was also noticing that of the other 7 speakers today besides myself, I know 5 of them pretty well. And one of them actually, one of them and I have a weekly outreach call that we do together. And so this is just an example of the benefit of attending the conference, and you get to know people that you otherwise wouldn't. So in Sacramento, we have a Tuesday night Progress Not Perfection meeting. That's my home group. We have a Saturday, a regular DA meeting, and we have a Friday BDA meeting. And then our intergroup meets once a month. And we have a couple of other meetings in outlying areas. We have one in Stockton. So what I have done to present my World Service Conference report to the various meetings is I've created a PowerPoint presentation, and I did this last year. I've got 22 slides, and they're broken down into first I talk about feelings, about how it feels to be at the conference. Then I've got a section in the middle that's kind of nuts and bolts and about how the conference works. And then I have a section towards the end about approved motions and recommendations. And I found that, so I just have the whole list. I have every approved motion and recommendation, the full text of it, on these slides, and we go through them, and I point out the ones that I think were, you know, kind of most important or most meaningful to me. And that I have found has been people kind of perk up and pay attention during that time as they begin to understand what actually happened at the conference. And then at the end, I have a slide on understanding anonymity, and then I show the maps of the VA regions worldwide. Evolution of an effective delegate, which is one of my slides at the beginning, and I just talk about how it feels. In year one, you're an unconscious incompetent. You really don't know what you don't know, and there's a lot of confusion. And people are very willing to help, but my experience first year, like any type of big conference like this that I've attended, there's some confusion. You just really don't know what's going on. Year two, you become conscious and less incompetent. You've learned some things, and you've made some DA friends at conference that you're happy to see when you return. Year three, I call it conscious and competent. You've learned how things work. You've learned who can help you get things done, and you've learned what is realistic to attempt to get done, and you're thinking about next steps. I have a slide on credentialing and voting. Michaeleen did a great job of explaining how the convocations work. I just want to mention one thing that nobody's mentioned so far, and that is that we have a parliamentarian at World Service Conference. We had Michael for many years, and then we had Darlene this last year. And these are these parliamentarians are there at the front of the room.
That's
They're professional parliamentarians that the fellowship hires, and they keep us on track in those convocations. They do a great job, and they're very passionate about what they do, and that for me has made, I don't know, it just gives me a comfort level at those meetings. So I do have my my PowerPoint presentation, and I schedule a time for each meeting, and I go to the meeting and share that PowerPoint presentation with whoever's there and interested. And I'll just share a little bit about the second piece of my topic, which is participating in your monthly conference call. So I'm the chair. I'm currently the chair of the Internal Operations Committee, and which we support our General Service Office. And I'm also a member of the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus. So there's a monthly call for each one of those. For the IOC Internal Operations Committee, I'm the chair, so I set the agenda and I run that call. And we have a very small committee. And Michaeline is actually our board liaison. So I set up the agenda. I send it out to people beforehand, and then we all join on that call, and I run the call. And if I'm fortunate, there's somebody who will take minutes for me. Sometimes I have to, because we are such a very small committee and we try to keep ourselves working in our strengths, sometimes I take the notes myself as we're running through the meeting.
That's time.
And so then, thank you. And then I also participate in the monthly Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus call, which I don't have a leadership role on that caucus. Thank you, everyone.
Great. Thank you, Paul. Okay, and finally, our last speaker is Alexia, and she will finish up by sharing for 6 minutes on how to continue work on projects that were started at the conference and making recommendations to next year's conference committees or caucuses. Alexia, how would you like your time?
Hi, Tom. A 2 minute would be great.
Okay.
Great. Go ahead. Thanks.
Thank you, and thank you for asking me to be on this call, and I appreciated it, everybody who has spoken, and I have received something from each and every one of you. I am Alexia, and I'm a recovering debtor, and I first want to say that I, just like I've heard several times today, is serving in this capacity has been so rewarding, and honestly, I think it's been the best thing that I've ever done in my recovery, serving as a GSR and working with this extraordinary group of people. I have been asked today to share about our responsibilities after the conference, and so this has been an interesting experience for me because the first year, I loved how Paul summed up the first and the second and third year, and I thought he just did a brilliant job at that. I, too, was, he didn't use the word clueless, but I'm going to use the word clueless. I was really, really clueless the first year. I did attend one of these calls before, and I remember hearing somebody say, if it's your first year, maybe think about only serving on a committee and not a caucus. And that is what I did my first year, and that worked out very well for me because the committee that I served on, which was the Fellowship Communications Committee, there were only three of us on the committee, and not only were there only three of us, none of us had been on the committee the year before. So, and also our on the committees, there's always a representative from the board, and our board member had been on the committee before, but then sadly became ill, and then our new board liaison was new to being on the board, and so we were all pretty much the blind leading the blind. So what I want to say is it's really important to communicate. And fortunately, when we were at the conference the first year, we were able to find people from the previous year at the conference and get and ask them and request information to be sent to us. And then that had been really, really helpful. And so having learned what that experience was like, there were three of us who served on the committee the second year, and we really spent time at the conference making sure that our new committee members were up to speed with everything we worked on. And that was an interesting experience because there were a couple of members who didn't understand what we were working on and almost wanted to start fresh, and we really had to even go back and read a lot of our email exchanges to let them know what we had worked on. And then we were all on the same page moving forward for the year. And I think that now it's across the board that our committees and caucuses are sharing Google Docs, and I think that's going to be really useful. I know as chair of the FCC, I'm going to create, in addition to my report that was submitted for the World Service Conference on behalf of the FCC committee, I will also have a document in the Google Docs just letting the new chair know where we've left off and what's pending, and also to know that I would make myself and am available to anybody in that position to have their back who is going to continue moving forward with that committee. And so I am serving one more year. But I think the communication and in the knowing that someone else is going to be chairing and a whole other group might be coming in, and maybe a whole other group that is all new, that they, rather than having them start fresh, because there's no reason to, with all the work that all of these previous committees have done in the past, how important it is to communicate and create a vehicle to make sure that they understand where they're taking off. And I think my time is probably coming up. I don't know how helpful that is. And I would also want to add that there are four quarterly calls a year that the Fellowship Communications Committee oversees. And anyone, any committee and caucus member can attend those meetings. And that is just a really great opportunity also to hear what the other committee and caucuses are working on, and also how some committee and some caucuses can work together. This past year, I've really seen that happen and am amazed by the cross-pollination, so to speak. So I would say, to wrap this up, how important it is to communicate to the next group, make sure that there is a vehicle for them to have a platform to spring off of in the new term. And that's about it. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Perfect. Great. Thanks so much, Alexia. That concludes the speaker portion of our call. Thanks to the speakers, Ed, Susan, Josie, Rob, Tracy, Michaeline, Paul, and Alexia. Thanks so much. It's a huge crowd. And thank you to Jill for timing. Again, before we stop the recording, just a reminder, June 30th is early registration deadline. July 1st is the deadline for issues and concerns. July 14th is the deadline for final registration for the conference, for the gala dinner and the luncheon, and the remote trial participation. And the conference will start on August 7th and run through August 11th in Los Angeles. For those listening who are delegates, we look forward to seeing you at the World Service Conference. And for anyone who is considering World Service, we hope this will give you more information about serving at that level. Okay, I'm going to stop the recording.